1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. This ends the reading.
All right, if I could please have the kids come forward. Oh boy, just you and me. Reinforcements are coming. So guys, I have a story for you today. And this story started out about 27 years ago in August. And there's this boy that was born. And he was a crier, and he had snot coming out of his nose. And guess what? His parents loved him very, very much. And as this boy grew older, he went through his teenage years where he ate all the food in the fridge, and he was playing sports all the time, and was really, really loud a lot. And guess what? His parents still loved him. Then he hit college and decided he wanted to be there for a very long time. And even though he was there for a long time, his parents still encouraged him. And guess what? They still loved him. And now that boy is a little bit older with a little bit more facial hair. And he is in front of you right now. And guess what? My parents still love me. Do your parents still love you guys? Even though sometimes we do things that they might not like all the time? Yeah, they love us very much, and they want us to be the best that we can be. So as you guys get older and start looking forward to grade school and then high school and then college, your parents are always going to be there for you and want to help you get to be the best that you can be. And what we have to do as kids is make sure that we are loving our parents the same way that they love us. Do you guys think you can do that? Yeah? You guys want a treat? Yeah? Yeah? All right, you guys can come up here. And since there's three of you, you guys get to take two. You're welcome. You're welcome. So the fun thing about picking out the snacks for the children's sermon is I get to pick what I would want as a kid. So it's so much more fun for me when everyone gets excited, because as a kid I got so excited for fruit on the roll. Or fruit by the foot. Fruit by the roll. So today is my mom's 60th birthday. And she's still surviving, even though she's had me for 27 years and then four other siblings for a little bit less. But as I was figuring out what to talk about today, one of the cool things that I kept coming back to was how much my mom has loved me over the years. And one of the things that really brought that together was I wanted to get the sermon done Friday night and do it again Saturday night, and then not have to worry about it today. And Friday night, didn't get it done. Things popped up, and I was just like, it's 12 o'clock, I'm going to bed, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'll do it tomorrow. Saturday comes along, start working during the day, and then I realized my mom's surprise birthday party was yesterday. And I was like, oh yeah, surprise, yeah. Surprise for everybody. So Last night we were here at church, and 9 o'clock rolls around, 9:30 comes around, and then my fiance and I drive back to work, where we live at Phantom Ranch, and it's 10 o'clock when we get there, and I'm like, you know, probably should do it right now, and as I'm laying in bed getting ready to do it, I fall asleep, and my laptop is open, and it's not going to happen. So around 7 o'clock, I wake up with a start, and I look down at my laptop, which is on my chest, and I'm like, there's nothing there. Crud. This isn't good. And all of a sudden, I felt this peace that came upon me, and I just started writing about the sermon today. And it was a cool thing because the last two nights, I wasn't in the best place. I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit and to what he was trying to tell me. And this morning at 7 o'clock, he was like, Scott, you need to write this and get it down now. And it was really cool how he worked. Oh, excuse me. He worked that way because I was talking to Mr. Ebel yesterday at the birthday party, and he was like, Scott, we're leaving. I was like, okay, cool. See you later. He's like, guess what I get to go home and do? And he was like, I got to work on Bible study this morning. So it's cool how the Holy Spirit works in that way, where even in the circumstances where I procrastinated, I pushed off things because I wanted to get a good night's sleep, the Holy Spirit was like, uh-uh, you're writing this down, we're going to get it done, these people need to hear it. So I hope that the words that I say that are filled with the Holy Spirit would be blessings to you today. As you can see, in the way that I have grown up, my parents have loved me through everything. I spent a lot of years at college, spent a lot of money there. They still love me through that all, even as a teenager with my competitiveness, my loudness, they still love me. And I was thinking about how much God loves us as a church, but also how much he loves this world that he sent his only son to die for it, and how we as a church need to be spreading out that love to those around us. So this is going to be a very lovey-dovey sermon, which is a little bit different for me, but I'm hoping that you'll get something really cool out of it. With my siblings, I have four younger siblings, and one of the things that we were always taught is that we stuck together through thick and thin. And one of the cool things about that is that we are very competitive, and so even though we do fantasy football and we make fun of each other all the time and all these other things, we still stick together through the hardships and the good times that come through our lives. And it's not always fun, and it's not always easy, but the one prevailing thing through it all is that we love each other very, very much. As a fiancé now, soon-to-be husband, that's one of the things that me and Cabrina figured out is that things are not always going to be easy, but we got each other, and we have our love for each other, and then we have God's love coming down to us through that. And so when I was looking at Proverbs, I realized that Proverbs always seems to be the rule book. It's always the book that your parents tell you to read so that you know how to live your life the way that God wants you to live. And then it doesn't seem like there's a lot of benefits to the rules because there's so many rules, 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 rules. And then I looked at chapter 3 and the heading says further benefits of wisdom. I was like, oh, look at that. There are benefits to being wise sometimes. So let's start at verse 1. And it says that my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. When growing up, we had rules to keep us safe. Don't touch the stove when it's hot. Look both ways before you cross the street. And the fact that God wants to bless us for following those rules, and he wants us not to forget them. I am a very forgetful person sometimes when it comes to things that I don't deem important. And so where other people come to me and say, hey, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Do you remember my name? And be like, nope, I didn't think it was important at the time. I thought it was just going to be a one-day thing. Working in camps my whole life with kids, they always expect you to know their names. But when you're working with hundreds of kids a year, it's really hard to remember specific ones unless they're really, really, really naughty or really, really, really nice to you. And then you remember them. But it's one of those things where God knows us. As humans, our brains can only take so much information, and then we start recycling through, getting it out so new information can come in. And so one of the cool things about this chapter is he's always repeating what he wants for us and for us to do. So he starts out with verse 1, do not forget my teaching, keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So there's this binding that needs for us to, it needs to happen where we have it in our hearts. We need to make sure that we are always looking to the Word, and we're also looking to God in every situation that we come across. It is so important for us to make sure that we are not turning our eyes away from Christ, because as soon as we do that, that's when the devil comes in and is like, okay, Scott is looking away right now. I'm going to start digging away a little bit here, digging a little bit away there. And then it starts to be a landslide, and it starts going quicker and quicker and quicker, where I start trusting only in myself and trying to follow my own sense of ideas and my own ways of doing things, that I stop looking to the one who has all the answers. And I need to get off myself and get back to what God wants me to do. And there's going to be cool things that happen because of that. I'm going to win favor. There is a good name in the sight of God and man. There's going to be benefits, blessings to that. But yet we so many times just throw it out the window. We forget about that. Hey, it's not the rules that are going to be, they're going to be hard. They're going to be upsetting sometimes, but there's going to be benefits to it. As a kid, when your parents tell you not to touch the stove when it's hot, you don't get third-degree burns. When you look both ways when you cross the street, you won't get hit by a car. So there's those benefits, but we just want it here and now, and sometimes we don't see what God has us for in the future in store for us. Verse 5, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trusting is something that I have a hard time with God a lot, because he is a God unseen. He's a God unheard, for the most part. I felt him today as I was writing my sermon, the Holy Spirit working through that. But sometimes I block him off because it's not the answers I want to hear, or it's not the things that I want to see. And when we trust, we got to give 100%. When there is love in a relationship, doesn't matter if it's between a father and a son, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a grandparent to a grandchild, if there's not 100% of love, that relationship is going to start to be strained. It's going to start to be hurting. And God is like, that's how my relationship is going to be with you if you don't trust in me 100%. It's going to start disintegrating. It might be slow, and then it'll start going. But he wants us to understand, we want to be looking to him in all these situations, because there are things on earth that we can't explain or understand, but he has it. For the hurricanes down south in Texas and in Florida, people don't understand why it's happening. They don't get it. They want to know why. And God at the end will be like, okay, this is why it happened. This is what I'm doing. I want my glory to be shown, or I wanted people to turn to me, or I don't know. I'm not God. I won't understand what he's doing down there, because people will be losing their lives. And so it's hard for us as humans to get our understanding around that. And that's why we need to trust fully in him and everything that is going around our lives. It's a chaotic world out there. It's a sinful world. And if we try to lean on our understanding of what this sinful world is, we're going to fail miserably. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. When we look to him, when we acknowledge him in what we want him to do through us, that's when those doors start opening, and that's when those paths become straight for us. I know when I was at school, there was so many people telling me, well, you should do this, you should do that. And I was closing off. I was narrow-minded. I didn't want to hear it, because people were loving me in the way that they were telling me, but people were telling me. So as a young man, I was like, I don't want people telling me what to do. I want to do my own thing. And because of that very, very narrow vision that I had, and closing my ears off to the Holy Spirit and to the family and friends around me, I was floundering around in school, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know how God wanted me to be used, because I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't acknowledging him, and I wasn't trusting in him. And it wasn't until my graduating year that I stopped looking at me and started looking and listening to those around me to get that understanding that I obviously didn't have, because it didn't make sense for me to just be at school paying money and going to classes because I liked it. And there had to be a direction, and that's where my family and my friends, and then the Holy Spirit started working in me and saying, hey, you got to start doing this. Go into lay ministry. Go into that youth ministry. This is what you love to do. Why not do it? So once you turn away from yourself and turn toward God, that's when those things become much clearer with those things that are around us. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. As I was reading that, I was thinking about my mom and dad and like how much turmoil we must have caused as kids at point. And like my dad has gray hair and my mom has gray hair. And I was like, I wonder how many hairs I caused to turn gray because of it. And it's so cool to think about how when we are at that point of frustration, when we're at that point of, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I had to have five kids, or why I had to be working at this job, or why I am doing this and doing that. And that's when God wants to come in and be like, Scott, your job at camp is awesome, and here's why. And someone will come up to me, it could be an adult, it could be a little kid, and they'll be like, thank you for taking me on this ride, you're a great wrangler, have a nice day. And then it's like, shoop, all right, I'm good to go. All right, got my booster shot, I'm excited to work again. And it's just cool how God has those opportunities in store for us. And we need to be looking for them, because that's how we get refreshed. And that's how we want to go through the next day. And when we stop looking to that, we become like the dry bones in Isaiah, where we're staying out there and not doing anything. And it's when God has those blessings for us where we start getting excited to do things again. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I don't have a lot of wealth right now. Working in ministry doesn't do that for you. But the one thing that is so cool about how God works is that he can take a little and make it big. From the parables of the mustard seed and how it grows into be the biggest tree from the smallest seed. From the man who was a farmer who only had one lot, but then he bought another plot and there was a treasure built in, or treasure buried underneath there. God wants us to understand that, yes, you might seem small and insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but he loves you no matter what. It says that even though a sparrow falls, God knows about it. He still loves that sparrow very much, and how much more for those that he calls his own. And so it's so encouraging to know that, hey, I might not have a lot, but with the wealth that I do have, my family, my friends, the job that I do have, the fiancé that I have, that's a bunch of wealth that God is like, I want to bless that wealth, and I want you to honor me with that wealth. So while I've got a lot of family members or a lot of friends, it's not like I'm going around to other people and saying, I've got this much family and this much friend, and did you see my Facebook profile? It's got 621 people on it or whatever. And it's one of those things where I can't look at that to use it against people or to drag people down, but I should be using it to honor the Lord that has given me those blessings in the ways that he wants. And when I do that, he's just going to keep giving me more and more and more. And so that's what's so awesome. Now, I can give him thanks for my Chevy Impala that has 220,000 miles on it, and it doesn't mean he's going to give me... Now, I wrote this down. Where is it? He's not going to give me an Atomic Atom, which is some new car brand in Germany that's worth over $1 million. It's not going to happen. And so it's one of those things where, yes, I can give praise and I can be blessed through it, but it might just mean that my car is going to last another 220,000 miles, or that I'm going to be safe when I go from 0 to 60 in like 12 seconds or whatever it is. So there are those things that, even though they're small things that I might want the bigger Atomic Atom or whatever it's called, we want to make sure that we're looking for those small things and the blessings that God has given us on a day-to-day basis. Because then we look to it and say, okay, so God has blessed me in this. I'm going to keep on honoring him in the blessings that he's given me. Now, these last two verses are a little bit harder for me, because this is kind of where God's like, hey, by the way, you're going to get disciplined. And as a kid, that was one thing that we were very scared of, was discipline. And being a homeschool family, what would happen is if we were bad during the day, Dad would come home at night. And we knew that if Dad was coming home at night and we gave Mom a hard time during the day, our bottoms would be sore or we would be grounded for a while. So it was hard to read that because it's like as a 27-year-old, I don't think of it as I should be disciplined anymore. I think of it as I am invincible. I can do my own thing. No one should tell me what to do still. And so when I read 11, it said, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke." And I think how defensive I can get when people tell me that I'm wrong or when they give me a hint of, "Scott, you're going the wrong way. You should probably turn around here," or "Your life isn't where it's, you're not living your life to your fullest." My Pastor Bruce, my uncle, he's really good at doing that. And it's really hard sometimes because he calls you out and he does it in love and he does it in honesty. But it's one of those things where I put up my defenses right away. And God's like, don't resent that. They're going to help you out in the long run. It's going to be good for you. But God, my uncle just told me I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And my mom said, why don't you have a different job or a different car? Or your sisters are like, why aren't you coming to hang out with us more often? It's like, well, it's I resent that and I don't like it. God's like, well, maybe you should start listening to the people around you and start loving them for what they're telling you. Because while God might not come down and wash my mouth out with soap for saying a bad word, or he might not come down and give me a timeout for something I did, he's going to send people around me to do that and put me back and say, he's going to tell my dad, "Hey, Mark, get on your son. He's going this way again." Or he's going to tell my uncle, "Hey, Bruce, that nephew of yours, he's got a long ways to go." And so it's one of those things where as a young person, I need to make sure that I'm looking to God and saying, "Okay, God, you sent this person in. You sent a conviction to me through your Holy Spirit. I got to start listening to that and moving forward." And as you get older too, I can't imagine it now because I'm not to that point. But to my mom's age at 60, I don't know what it's gonna. I know that sounds bad. I didn't mean it to sound bad. So yeah, I'm gonna go dig a hole real quick. But that's one of those things where as you get to be younger at heart, older in age, where it's you gotta be improving in the ways that you take rebuke and you take correction and stuff like that, because God is always going to be there. And as for me especially, if I harden my heart now, how hard is it going to be for me in 40 years from now? And how hard is it going to be in 10 years from now, and 5 years, and next month? And that's where you have to have that openness and the willingness to change from the ways that people around you or that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, "Hey, God, turn this around. Let's get moving." Verse 12, "Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." And then you read that verse, you're like, "Oh, my God loves me still. You know what? I did a bad thing today. I procrastinated. I didn't write the sermon. You know what? God still came through with me. He still loves me. Even though I was stressing out, even though I wasn't mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, God was like, I'm still going to use this." And how cool it was to think that even in the discipline that we got as kids, parents still loved us. We didn't think it at times, especially if the punishment was severe because we deserved it. But looking back now, it's like, well, that discipline and that pushing to be better than what we were doing at that point was my parents loving on me. And it took me forever to figure it out because I'm a guy and I don't want to think of it as that way. I want to think of it as my parents were mean to me because they didn't give me a PlayStation until I was like 12, or I didn't get a phone until I was 18, or whatever that might be. There are things that I didn't understand at that time in my life, but now I look back and be like, cool, I'm glad they didn't do that. I'm glad they washed my mouth out with soap when I said a bad word, even though I might not have known what it meant at that time. Or I'm glad my dad gave me spankings when I hit my sisters or I talked back to my mom. And it's one of those things where it's so cool how that molds you. And God wants to do the same thing. He disciplines, but he disciplines in love. And he disciplines in righteousness and wisdom, and he wants us to grow from it. He doesn't want to squash us and put us out, but he wants us to grow out of that and become a better person because of it. And with the love and all that has come, there's something that I'd like to do that's a little bit different. I wrote these things. Okay. I printed it out this morning, and I think I threw away a page. So I'm gonna try and do this from memory. What I did and what I felt was very moving this morning was that God wanted me to write a letter. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, well, why do I want to write a letter? And he brought up to me, or I thought about Paul, and how Paul, when he was writing his letters to the churches around, he always did it in a way that the church needed to hear. And so I want to start out by saying that I have three different groups that I would like to write these letters to. And the first one is to the sons and fathers of this church. And I'm going to be paraphrasing, and I'm sorry for this. I'm going to try to do my best to do this correctly. Is that we have been called as men of this church to lead our families and to love our families. And right now the world is telling us that you don't have to. The world is telling us that it is okay to go to different places and to be part of the world and not part of your family. And the world wants us to believe that women are just objects and they're things for entertainment and for lustful eyes, and that's not the case. We have to be the men that go out today and love on our families, and we have to love our wives and love our sisters and love our sisters in Christ. And because if we're not going to do it now as a church, the world's not going to see that, and we're not going to understand. They're not going to understand it, and we need to be that life for them. And the thing of it is, the time is now. We can't wait anymore. For the women of the congregation, the world wants us to think that men are just pigs that are looking at women as objects, and we don't give them the time and effort and respect that they deserve. And we need to stop that trend and love the husbands, sons, and brothers in Christ the way that Jesus did. We must not turn our eyes to the things of the world and turn our backs to the men in our lives. We must fight for the ones we love in respect and truth through the Holy Spirit. We must support the men as they lead us to the love of our Heavenly Father and care for us. We must take back the love that God has given us from their hands of the We must take back the love that God has given us from the hands of the world and show it that we can be women of the faith that God wants you to be. The time is now. We must not wait. To Lamb of God as a whole, it is time to spread the love that God has given us to those who have closed ears and hearts. It is time for us to take the fight to the enemy and start loving the people in this world as Jesus did. It is our time to step up to the wall and take a stand. The world would make us stay at home, watch TV, eat our TV dinners, and not come out to spread the love of Christ. We must stop that trend and turn our attention to those around us. We must take a stand in honor and courage through the Holy Spirit. We cannot delay any longer. The time is now. We must not wait. And the one cool thing about everything that has happened with this church, the progression that we have seen, it's time now to take another step. We can't just stand. We got to be out there with the ministries that we have, with the neighbors around us at our homes, at our jobs. And we need to be spreading love. We can't be spreading the hate that the world wants to spread around. We can't be spreading dissension. We can't be spreading lies. We need to be spreading the true and awesome thing that God has given us to give to other people, and that's the love that he has given us through his son, and we need to be giving that to other people. I love being loved. That's just a fun thing for me, because when people come up to me and give me a hug or people say, you did a really good job, I just want to sit there and curl up into a cocoon and be like, okay, I can go home now. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to bask in it, but he wants us then to go up to someone else and say, hey, I appreciate you. My brother-in-law sent me a text. Sam Buckmeyer sent me a text this morning. And I don't have my phone on me. But what it said, it was from Matthew 9:23, I believe. And it said, "Do not worry about what is going on because your heavenly Father has plans for you." And again, that's paraphrasing. Don't quote me on that. But one of the cool things about it was that he was told, he said, "Scott, I don't know what's going on, if it's between you and Cabrino or this sermon that's coming up, but the Holy Spirit put this on my heart to send to you today. I really think that you need to hear this. And I'm blessed to have you as a brother-in-law, and I'm blessed to have you as a brother in Christ." And as Cabrino was driving, I was sitting in the passenger seat like, I'm going to cry in the car, and it's not going to be good. And I didn't. I teared up, and I didn't talk the rest of the ride because I didn't want my emotions to betray me. But it was one of those things where, again, he reached out to me in love, and through that love, I was refreshed, and I was ready to stand before you, ready to go today, even though I'm missing some pages of my sermon, and even though I didn't get this done until this morning. The Holy Spirit knew what was up. God knew that what was going to happen, and he sent it to Sam to be for me. And then even right as the sermon was about to start, Amber texted me and was like, "Hey, good luck out there." I was like, "Thanks, sis." So as we continue forward as a church, as you continue forward in your personal lives, I ask and I pray that you would always turn to God to find the love that he wants us to give to those around us. And in the blessings that you have, look to multiply them by giving them to other people, because the world isn't having enough love these days. And I don't mean the hippie-like love, but I mean pure God love that he wants us to give away. So as we continue in our walk with him, let's strive to make sure that the time is now. We can't wait any longer. So pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day, and I thank you for the blessings that you poured out on me today and in the form of my brother-in-law and the Holy Spirit this morning. I just pray that as we continue forward as a church, as we continue forward as people in our jobs and our lives, that you would be there walking with us and encouraging us, and that we would be willing to listen to you and not shut our ears, shut our hearts down. And as things around us, we don't understand, we don't get it. Pray, Lord, that as we turn to you in those times of hopelessness, that we would become renewed, refreshed. And I just pray that you continue to bless each and every one here, and that for those who are not, that I just pray that you would give them strength and encouragement wherever they may be. And just thank you for this opportunity to share your love to everyone here. In your name I pray. Amen.